Tyler.
Hello.
Hello. You gonna lead us off with the I at the end of your punk ass?
The I at the end of your punk ass, that's right. Okay. Kelsey Moore was a guitar, but a guitar that could scream and also gargle ants, even gigantic ants, bought at the Serpentine Marina and ladled up by an otter. Kelsey knew that the more she told everyone that she was the chick with the pick of the podiatrist, the more monstrously green her Zamboni would become. Kelsey also knew that the more she thought, the more she fidgeted. Kelsey was thinking again for the last time. She gritted her teeth whenever the Serpentine Marina was mentioned, her vagina rising like a grand and bestial mountain range over a curvy Kate and Winslet River that segmented itself and its trajectory like a tuber rose that had just placed second. "Whoa!" Drew exclaimed unexclaimably. "Away with y'all before I myrtleize yes." "What a disaster," Kelsey said as she rolled band deodorant over her ass and toes. "And for me to be considered human, I have to drink a quart of cola in 20 minutes?
"A disaster?"
Drew was really testy. "Have you pole vaulted all the way on over to crazy? All I know is give me that much cola and I'll rule the fucking world."
"You're not gritting your teeth."
Drew had drawn herself in a tea color.
"When I grit my teeth, I taste what I'm eating. And I always grit my teeth when I'm eating kale. Look, you siesta-inducing son of a whore."
Drew had to reach way down for that one.
"I gritted my teeth while you were gritting your teeth on Gerber's."
"Yeah, well, I'm recording everything you say. Your god taunts you just because it knows your subway ticket is a one-way ride."
Drew knew that if Kelsey ever drank a quarter of cola, she beat God over the head with a plastic bottle.
"Will you shut the fuck up?"
She gritted her teeth, but it wasn't that she was acting like a baby. Kelsey and Drew were very good friends. Very good friends. Who had more misery in their ruby red shoes and rickshaws than the mamas and the papas and the mamas and the granadas combined. They had more tinnitus in a Miami appellate court. And that's a lot of shit for a couple 11-year-olds. Kelsey thinks that she's more than just a horse's ass. And certainly more than Drew is more than a horse's ass. But she said that about 21 times now. Every other year, their parents break out their aqualungs and ambulate about the house. And every other year, Kelsey tries to have Drew arrested for impersonating the F-I-R-E and flippered. For being a guitar when she wanted her to be the subject of a poll tax, and for supporting Kelsey in her drive to make the Aqua Woman scuba diving team. Two summers ago, Kelsey had even tried to convince Drew that she had once been buried under the Serpentine Marina. In the end, she only succeeded in convincing Drew that she had once been decapitated.
"I can't believe you bought that one," Kelsey murmured. "I'd gone to school the next day, but I almost lost my mind."
Yeah. "At least I don't live on Fear Street. There's all sorts of monsters and ghosts there almost every day," Drew replied.
"Look, okay, it's true. I live on Fear Street. I think we all live there. We just don't like to be seen as living there."
"That and we don't want to be seen as riding in any car less than a Tercel,"
Drew was seen as saying. "That's a big no," Kelsey said, but she knew that she had storied history with ghosts, ghosts that drove around in Mazda proteges. Drew pushed out the whites of her eyes.
"Great! You live on Fear Street and all I get to see is the whites of my eyes. If we were any more exceptional, we'd have congregated of hermit crabs."
"Not me, I'd have a congregation of consultants," Kelsey mentioned. "I'd ask him, what comes after the letter 2? And nothing else, of course. Why would I want to ask him anything?"
she asked, changing into a team of horses.
"Are we going to the chocolate car show?" Drew was getting all sugary.
"We can't," Kelsey replied. "I don't think I have enough dinner."
"But what the hey?" Drew started pushing the snails onto her balsa wood. "We had enough to eat yesterday. I had a fish taco."
"Is that what you call eating? You'd eat a chocolate hubcap. You've done it 100 times. And you know what else? It gives you horribly smelly gas, and I'm always the unfortunate one who has to play with you. You're like the first dinosaur that ever lived."
"I'm not a dinosaur," Drew insisted. And when I'm playing video games, why don't you give me $80 and then leave instead of standing behind me peeing? And another thing, don't you owe me 25 cents?
Yeah, I owe you a quarter, but can you explain to me why, if your parents are worth $250,000, you're worrying about a quarter? I mean, it's like we're ants in a giant ant farm with nowhere to go and nothing to do. We can always hang out at a truck stop.
But it is exactly what we do. And we do it year after year, Drew said. And when was the last time we ate anything more than gulp? When was the last time we ate, like, red elephants?
Ah, I see, Kelsey contested. You want me to call you a dino. No, you want me to look at the sun until I go blind.
Good, that's right. Now you're getting it. You're starting to see that I like to play fucking video games. Drew screamed with not just a little ferminosity.
That's good, that's good, Kelsey said over and over. But if I had to, I could buy your house and have you thrown out of it, and then I'd burn your ex-house to the ground, and then I'd open a video game arcade on the scorched land I wouldn't let you in, no matter how much freaking money you had. Kelsey and Drew listened to the sound of the wind and the cars, and they almost smiled.
I have all the money and food I need, Drew said.
She had all the money and food, but she couldn't get a permit to put snails on balsa wood.
But we're gonna buy God and all his holy angels.
Drew knew he could kick Kelsey's ass, but that the smart-ass girl wouldn't even appreciate it.
Oh, Kelsey.
Here, exclaimed the chick who likes the pick of horses' teeth. At least it looks like I'm here.
What does?
Drew asked. She had never seen a doppelganger. Kelsey had the delicateness of an old sailor and the lugubriousness of an algebra teacher. It was not a good combination. It wasn't a good combination, and still she'd ride through the neighborhood in her mohair dress, reading her antique guide. What the Christ are you talking about? Kelsey now prayed that Drew didn't have a gun, and that the gun she didn't have wasn't in the hand with her finger who wasn't on the absent trigger. What does that have to do with anything now? She rolled her eyes, and as her eyes rolled, God came down and smeared cold goo on the door.
Zandra the Incredible, God said,
trying to seg back into the persona of Victor Meldrew. Discreet Politicus set that doesn't use the word deconstruction. But who the Christ Zandra the Incredible is, I don't know. I just hope he or she ain't hungry. Kelsey was about to fall asleep on her feet, but instead she fell asleep on her feet. Drew began her own narrative where she could see a river from her front door, but she couldn't tell if she was dreaming or not. God was pouring salt on anyone who'd repent, and Kelsey was on the flying trapeze. Hey, Bruto! Exclaimed the chick with a fondness for pie. What's the haps?
I'm lost and braless,
Drew murmured. Kelsey now began her own narrative, one where she was looking out the window of a cubicle at Ponce de Leon. She couldn't tell if she was imagining this or simply making it up. As it turned out, the eyes had. Then she had another vision, a very tiny vision, a very tiny vision of a very tiny human, a very tiny human with eyes like giant vaccinations. She tried to take in everything the air had to offer, and for her trouble, she got kicked in the rear. Don't make me corner kick, and don't make me put snails on balsa wood, she said to Drew. Your punk ass is always going to be mine. But I'm starting to believe that your rodeo ass is going to be quiet before the mystery. She started tearing apart the front door. This was because she didn't want to open it. That and she didn't want to fire Scud missile through it.
Come on in, she announced to God. I don't know how, Drew said and started putting on the door. Not everybody has the time to pick apart a door. But everybody has the time to be a day trader.
I was supposed to be a day trader, Kelsey said, like a burlap sack full of mad cow diseases.
That's not true. That's like saying just because we don't have a gun, we don't have a motive to kill. That's like saying that all divinity students are imposters. That's like saying that everyone in the world knows everyone else. But it's just not true that you were supposed to be a day trader.
Kelsey opened the door enough so that 1 meter of her head stuck out like a chicken. The rest of her body looked like a French fry. What was really strange about this was that most of the extremities looked like pie, except her chicken head. She started checking herself out with the mirror. First she looked at her football, and then at the space between her bicycle cap and her pelvis. All the parts were there, but they looked like old pillows on Lady Night. Kelsey knew that if she started fidgeting with the parts she liked, the other parts would start looking like a library. That or a telemarketer. And if you think that seems like much, multiply it by the number of animals that are desecrated every year. Kelsey also knew that she couldn't look an animal in the eyes. It wasn't because she didn't have any eyes, but it was because the animals didn't have any homes. And that was the truth, Daddy-O. It was death, but it was the truth, Daddy-O. There's no way I believe that horses wear dentures, Kelsey murmured. I want to leave before I enter.
No, Drew said. She was tired of Kelsey. We're leaving. We don't have all summer to talk about dentures. We can't leave and not enter another day.
And Kelsey had thought that the concept of a god was suspicious.
That's all well and good, but...
A voice said, cascading down on them like a Jane Fonda workout video. Kelsey and Drew walked in circles, looking to the world like a couple of serious assholes who didn't know how to open a door. Even old people could open a door with a finger or by clapping. The voice repeated. Kelsey didn't want to look. She was afraid that the woman's voice was Jane Fonda's. She'd lifted up her suede vest and stamped her feet on the alabaster floor. And she took care not to cut the carpet into cubes. And she really took care not to hang her curveball to any batter. But just as she did not do all of this, she did light a flaming arrow and then she sent it hurling into the house. The house, however, did not catch fire, because all the cold goo that God had spread all over it, and because of the hundreds of gold gorilla statues. The gold gorilla statues. They grew out of the flooring like cold globules of tire irons. The voice looked arcanely at Kelsey when she turned to eat her own words. Kelsey hadn't eaten the letter V before she couldn't breathe. The voice was the blue, gold, and black of carbon paper.
Come on in, it said. Come on. I'm going to tie up both of you, and then we're going to talk.
Bok, 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 times two. You, Kelsey, and you too, Drew.
Drew knew she had pushed her pal into the Brett Cyberhagen one too many times.
How come you know our names before we start yamming them?
Kelsey murmured.
And how come it's Saturday?
All right. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you. Stumbled.